Okay. It is an immense pleasure to be here today with you all, with my dear friend Joanna Burke and her colleagues on the Sexual Harm and Medical Encounters, SHAME Project, as well as with the Greek colleagues working on sexual violence. I want to thank Joanna and the project SHAME for the idea of this conference, Dimitra for making it happen, and of course the French School of Athens, Tasos Anastasiadis, for hosting us, and Kostis Gotsinas for his help. The real host today is actually SHAME, because of the possibility that it offers for us to exchange ideas about sexual violence. This conference is a first for Greek historians and social scientists. There are few studies on sexual violence, especially by historians. They tell an extremely fragmented story. For instance, we know that juridical sources can be very helpful in distinguishing different scholarly and lay meanings of sexual violence, that legal texts can show us the changing range of acts punished as acts of sexual violence. But we know very little on the ways that they have been managed in everyday life, let alone experienced, because sources are scarce. Research has shown the connection between rape and war, but we lack a history of rape in time of peace for the 19th and 20th century that would put forward its different aspects, its legal and medical treatment, but also and especially its effects in victims and perhaps perpetrators' lives. We have been able to approach the ambiguities of shame as a cultural construct in the context of a patriarchal relations based on honor, ambiguities between shame as a supposedly positive attribute of femininity and as a form of traumatic experience with serious social ramifications. But we know very little, I quote, of the role of medicine and psychiatry in understanding, interpreting, treating, persecuting, and preventing sexual violence. The quotation is from the SHAME project itself. It is true, on the other hand, that exchanges between historians, anthropologists, medical doctors, and psychiatrists have increased lately in Greece, making it possible to imagine future collaboration on the issue of sexual violence. Today's presentation by Greek colleagues will deal with some of these issues, and we hope that they will pave the way to future research. So this conference is an opportunity for us. It allows us to showcase the importance of sexual violence as a subject of scholarly and interdisciplinary research. It gives young colleagues the opportunity to present their ongoing research. It makes possible scholarly exchanges with experts from Britain that we hope will become more regular in the future. Mostly, it is an opportunity to launch a call to those of you interested in this field of studies to come together and develop it further in ways that can have wider ramifications and would be useful also not only for academic work but also for activists and policymakers. This is a timely call. Last year, rape became a hot public issue in Greece. There were two reasons for this. First, a series of serious crimes, serious cases, in which young women were repeatedly raped by more than one perpetrator, and one of them, Eleni, was killed afterwards. These cases mobilized feminists and LGBT rights defenders who added this cases to other attacks, sometimes fatal, related to sexual orientation, such as the attack on Zakostopoulos. Are attacks such as this one cases of sexual violence? This is a question of debate today, I hope. Second reason that brought sexual violence in the public eye, the discussions around the changes in the penal code, and more specifically, the amendment of Article 336 about the definition of rape. Thanks to wide-range mobilization and the ensuing public outcry, the former government was obliged to accept defining rape as any sexual act without consent following the 2011 Council of Europe Convention on Prevention and of Preventing and Combating Violence Against Women and Domestic Violence, the so-called Istanbul Convention, already ratified by the Greek government. Sexual violence is nowadays a global issue, from femicides in South America to rapes in India, through crimes of honor in Turkey and Pakistan, let alone rapes in many places in Africa and Asia, torn by civil strife and war, and various forms of attacks against LGBT persons, but also the forms of sexual violence that refugees and migrants face in various places of the globe. So, sexual violence continues to constitute an undeniable form of exercise of power. Research shows that it is transformed and viewed differently over time. What seems to have changed today is that sexual violence is less often accepted as normal, at least in the Western world. This is why it becomes all the more important to study how laws frame the various forms of sexual violence, how communities reacted to it, and how they treated both victims and perpetrators, how medical and other experts intervened in its management, and if possible, how it was experienced by those involved. Looking forward to the productive discussions that will follow, I thank you all for being here.